You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Cities like Merced, Fresno, and Bakersfield all share one common thread. Other than being major stops on Highway 99, they all routinely rank at the bottom of various lists published by national publications ranking the nation's cities on everything from access to public parks to air quality to things like drunkenness. While the validity of some of these lists may be dubious at best, they do raise many interesting questions about our region, its challenges, and how to make the Valley a better place to live. Last month, Time magazine reported on a study from Central Connecticut State University that examined the nation's most literate and least literate cities. They analyzed data on everything from public libraries to newspaper circulation and ranked Bakersfield dead last, with Fresno not far behind. So what's behind the numbers, and what should we do to turn it around? Joining us now is Bakersfield-based author Nick Belardis, who has written a response to the study, which has generated a lot of discussion online in the past few weeks. Nick, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
This study that came out from the Central Connecticut State University looked at a number of things. It ranked Bakersfield as the nation's least literate city. What was your initial reaction when you read that news?
Well, I wasn't surprised because this has been going on for several years in a row. I don't know how long they've been doing the study, but generally the last 3 or 4 years, Bakersfield's been getting ranked really low. So I'd even covered this type of story on a more newsy kind of format before. So I wasn't too surprised, but what I did think was, oh, man, Russo's Books just closed, one of the last independent bookstores in Bakersfield. Although they're an online entity, their physical bookstore closed, so I thought, wow, what's going to happen when the study finds out about that?
So you wrote about this on a website, theweakling.com, and you wrote an essay that takes an interesting perspective about this. What prompted you to write that essay, and what did you hope to bring across with that?
Well, you know, I've been asked by a few different people to write an essay, and it wasn't until Greg Ulliard, and it wasn't until he asked me that I really got interested in writing a piece. And I knew that if I wrote something, that it wouldn't be a happy piece, because at the time I'd been reading, once again, Richard Hofstadter's book on anti-intellectualism in American life. And so, you know, just it was sort of a perfect storm to kind of lash out and in my complaint against what might be going on as not part of just a Valley problem, but maybe it's a national problem, this whole trend of illiteracy that's going on. So I thought, well, you know, I have some beefs, and I'm not working for local media of any kind at the time, although I have. And so I didn't feel like I had to answer to anybody except my own conscience. And so I wrote the piece.
You asked some interesting questions here in talking about this climate of anti-intellectualism, as you call it. You talk about the situation at CSUB. You say at the university in Bakersfield, if you aren't playing baseball, then you might be getting a business degree, which fuels many students these days to enroll there. Maybe it's just a reflection of culture, the notion of Bakersfield having a prominent business school where many have become successful business people. But you talk about the fact that other programs at the university aren't as well known or have the same prestige. You talk about the attitudes against pursuing a life in the letters, so to speak. This is something, as you just said, is maybe a national issue, but why do you think it's such an issue, in your view, here in the Valley?
Well, definitely it's an issue in the Valley because I know more of what's happening in at least the South Valley. I know that there's, you know, you can't take a creative writing course every semester at Bakersfield College or CSU Bakersfield anymore. I don't think you ever could every semester at CSUB, where Fresno State has a wonderful MFA program. CSUB doesn't have that sort of thing. And so I've just seen some of the humanities and hearing from professors, because I know so many professors in Fresno and Bakersfield, and one of the main complaints is the humanities are shrinking. It's hard to get full-time job, even adjunct jobs teaching things like English are disappearing. It's getting even more competitive to get these jobs. So that kind of knowledge really affects me as a writer, as somebody who's taught history before at Bakersfield College, and I've taught a lot of writing So those kinds of things just really affect me and affect my perspective about, well, what's happening in the Southern Central Valley.
These are certainly regional issues, and that's one thing that I've seen people bring up on your blog and on Facebook, on the post on theweaklings.com. They bring up the fact that this part of California is home to immigrant communities from across the globe that come here for work. Is it just a factor of our economy here that we have this immigrant base that makes up a large portion of our communities? Do you think that's the issue?
I don't even think that's the main issue because, you know, I don't look at immigrants as being the main problem here. I don't look at a kid who speaks Spanish as being illiterate because they're still speaking the language, right? They're still speaking Spanish. I look at it as a larger problem. I remember, I think it was about 2 years ago, that a big stink came up because in the CSU system, within the CSU system, they were trying to eradicate the Romance languages from CSU Bakersfield. Here we have a community that has a lot of Spanish-speaking people, and people who want to take Spanish as not just an elective, but as maybe their course in life. You know, there's so many avenues you could explore by having Spanish as the major. And here we have the Spanish as a language on the university campus nearly eradicated. I remember attending one of those meetings at CSU campus. It was sort of a press conference that was going on. And I find that's despicable. I mean, I don't look at that as a problem with the Spanish-speaking people. I look at that as a problem. There's a different problem going on. I look at a lot of Spanish-speaking peoples as they're getting educated. They're becoming our teachers. They're becoming doctors and nurses and intellectuals and academics.
Again, if you just joined us on Valley Edition today, we're talking with Bakersfield-based author Nick Balardas, who has a post on a website called theweaklings.com that is a response to a recent study released by Central Connecticut State University. Bakersfield, the least literate city in America. Fresno was not all that far behind in this analysis of everything from public library data to newspaper circulation to the number of bookstores in communities. And Nick talks in his post a lot about a climate that he calls a climate of anti-intellectualism. Time magazine pointed out something interesting in their analysis of this data and looking at the bottom five cities and throwing in Fresno, which was just outside of the bottom five. They said San Antonio, Bakersfield, Corpus Christi, these communities that are at the bottom all have the lowest levels of professional employment in the nation, white-collar jobs, corporate America jobs, those sorts of things. Do you think that has something to do with it? Because that's one of the things that Time magazine was pointing out, that we don't have the type of employment here that requires the maybe advanced degrees and higher levels of education that you would have in maybe Silicon Valley or in Southern California or other places like that.
Oh, I think that's definitely part of the problem. I mean, I've seen articles out of Fresno about the brain drain where our smartest and brightest, they leave and then they don't come back. And why is that? Well, I think a lot of it is the jobs aren't there. I think there's also another problem is that people who leave and they're woeful about their own area. They don't find value in it, which I do. I actually do find a great value in the Central Valley. I've written much of my literature and poetry has been about the Central Valley, and while it's full of conflict, I find the area rich, extremely rich. And so that's why I've lived in Bakersfield on and off for so many years. But I think the job market and what you mentioned earlier about the economy in general, which in turn affects the job market, you know, I think that as well as people just being young kids saying, oh, there's nothing to do in the Central Valley. There's nothing to do in Fresno. There's nothing to do in Bakersfield. When you and I both know, you could go out every night of the week in Fresno or Bakersfield and either go to at least in Fresno, go to a poetry reading, or in Bakersfield, there's always theater going on. In Bakersfield, it's super rich in theater. There's always something going on. But when these kids leave and they don't come back, it hurts us. So what can we do to create more jobs? Well, that's a big question, right?
The natural response in many communities when these sorts of lists come out, there are folks who immediately become very defensive and trot out evidence to the contrary. And certainly there is a great deal of evidence to the contrary in something like this. We can cite a number of great cultural institutions and the fine work that the folks do at the Kern County Public Library, the faculty and students at CSUB and Bakersfield College and throughout the Central Valley. Who do such great things, but do you think that's just a part of a natural response? Why not take a stance and say this is why this is wrong?
Well, I think people get really defensive, you know, and I think that's why an article like this is really dangerous. I don't think I would have been allowed to write this type of article if I worked for a local TV station or a radio station. I was attacked on a Bakersfield radio station just a couple of days ago. In fact, the shock jock tried to discredit me by saying he called CSUB saying the history department wasn't shrinking. But at the same time, you know, that happens when more than one person talks to different sources. But I'm a product of the graduate program at CSUB. I would suggest that I'm able to dig in a little bit deeper. But at the same time, you know, I rail a little bit against who our celebrities are, at least in the South Valley. I don't think people here are aware who their cultural heroes might be.
Reading again from your piece, and you're describing Bakersfield here, here weather girls, conservative shock jocks, and TV anchormen are its biggest celebrities, where used-up newscasters get recycled, lending what's left of their hard-earned celebrity dump to cheesy television commercials promoting local businesses and lawyers. And I want to read one other part here, talking about Bakersfield, describing the city as having its strip mall appeal is the equivalent of fruit rotting on the ground with its non-intellectual celebrities, boarded up businesses and historical buildings transformed to rubble in a cityscape of boxy structures, all bereft of splendor and detail. You paint a very bleak picture of the city, of the South Valley. How to change that? What's the proactive approach here? What do you suggest we do to try to improve our city?
Well, as the little guy, because I'm a little guy, is I mentioned at the end of the article, which is a dream to build a coffee house bookstore, you know, create something that can build community and then you rally the troops around it. I try to hold a lot of literary readings around town. I also just did the Invisible Memoirs project, which I know was held in Fresno as well through Memoir Journal, and many students were published in their anthologies, the Invisible Memoir project. So it's doing things of value to the community that could sort of change what this particular study is reporting on. If it's saying there aren't enough bookstores, then let's build some more bookstores. You know, if it needs more magazines, build more magazines. If it needs more people to have subscriptions to scholarly journals, then we need more academics in the city. Then what can we do to boost our universities and boost their junior colleges so that they get more enrollment? You know, I don't know the answers to how to get more enrollment other than better marketing from those types of institutions and more community support from the top as well. What are the institutions that make the most money and who could contribute to those institutions and not just in a way to sport that goes to sports programs? And don't get me wrong, because I'm a big sports junkie too. And I went to a lot of CSUB baseball games last summer. I'm a huge sports junkie. So I don't hate sports. I just think that there's a way that more money could possibly funnel in through, if Bakersfield's so rich in agribusiness and oil, well, why isn't some of that money, or maybe some of it is, why isn't enough of that money going into expansion and attracting people to these academic types of lifestyles? And it may have to come from the bottom. It may have to come from people like me who write these kinds of articles and who follow through with dreams.
Well, it's certainly an interesting article and a thought-provoking one. You can find a link to it on our website. It's called Postcard from the Most Illiterate City in America. It's by Bakersfield-based author Nick Bilardis, who joins us on Valley Edition today. It's a response to a recent study from Central Connecticut State University about literacy levels throughout the country. Nick Belardis, thank you so much for joining us on Valley Edition.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.